So today's gospel lesson is a little bit of everything. I kind of refer to it as the lions, tigers, bears, exorcisms, salt, fire. Oh my. And it's fall, and today's gospel lesson kind of reminded me of Halloween when I read it for the first time. So I was going to preach on Esther, because that seemed like an easier text. But then I changed my mind and thought I would challenge myself to tackle all the Halloween-ness of today's sermon. So for me, you know, the mornings might be a little bit crisp, but for me, fall has not really started until football season begins. Anyone else kind of feel that way? Like I wake up in the morning and it's nice and cool, and I'm like, today feels like football. And just about every Saturday, you'll find me cheering on the Nittany Lions with my array of snacks and beverages. And while you think I'm a fan now, nothing quite compares to the way Happy Valley was during football season when you're a student at Penn State, and especially when we're playing Ohio State. So on those days, on those football weekends that came just about every other year, my friends and I would wake up, we would secure a tailgating spot, and we'd play a few rounds of cornhole, and we would try to be in the first few rows of the student section at Beaver Stadium. We would get there 2 hours early before kickoff, just so we could get our chicken baskets, which are delicious, 3 pieces of fried chicken, all the french fries you could ever want, and honestly, I kind of went to the football game yesterday just so I could get one of those again. They're so good. And we would mentally prepare ourselves to lose our voices yelling at Coach Franklin. And if we thought we were proud Penn Staters during the school year, our school pride hit a maximum level during Ohio State games. See, it was this grudge match, and usually resulted in a personal investment from us and this us versus them mentality throughout the game and beyond. Ohio fans, because Ohio is right next door, would flood Penn State with their intimidating red and white, their confidence in their football team, and the grudge match was on, which usually resulted in two things. A loss of not only our voices, but also usually of our Penn State Nittany Lions. Except in 2016. We will never forget that one. So this us versus them attitude is really prominent in today's gospel lesson. So there's this clear right and a clear wrong side, at least according to the disciples. And according to them, their Jesus squad, aka their football team, are far superior than anyone else. You might even attempt to cast out demons, even if it is in Jesus' name. And the gospel today goes about as far as saying so. See, the disciples are kind of ratting on this other guy, and they say, "Teacher, we saw someone who doesn't even follow us trying to cast out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he's not part of our group. Because he isn't with Jesus, because he isn't a disciple, he should under no circumstances be casting out demons. If he's an us, he's not an us, he's a them." This is a little ironic, considering in just the passage before this, the disciples themselves failed to cast out a demon. So a little bit of irony there. And Jesus rebukes him by saying, "Whoever is not against us is on our side." That's a little bit confusing grammatically. But basically, Jesus is saying if someone is doing good works on behalf of him, who he follows doesn't matter. What matters is the work themselves. So when Penn State versus Ohio State turns, although it's a little hard to admit, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter which team you cheer for or who wins. We're all kind of there in the spirit of football and community-based college athletics. So teams really don't matter. And that's a little hard to swallow. Because it seems like today our world is just so divided, right? So gone are the days when we could argue over simple things, like which one is better? And I accept some hand raising on this one. John Deere, Case IH. So raise hands for John Deere. Raise hands for Case. Those hands went down pretty quickly. Ford. I'm a Ford girl. Chevy. Okay, a few more hands. Coke. Pepsi. Ooh, Pepsi, can you see over here? Vanilla ice cream or chocolate? Whoa, okay. But instead today, it seems like we are separated by political affiliations, and I will not ask you to raise your hands on this one. Red or blue, we're separated by healthcare status. Would we prefer privatized healthcare or universal healthcare? And so many others. And it seems like we are forced to pick a side, and it's harder and harder to find areas where the world's troubles and our divisions slip away. We can simply be and do good works for others, regardless of what team we put ourselves in. But those places do exist. They might be a little hard to find, but one of them is a little over an hour away in Burden Hand, Pennsylvania. So some of you know I ran a half marathon there a few weeks ago, and the experience was a great one. So this course looked through rolling Lancaster County hills that I severely underestimated the day after. I was very sore. And although running with my siblings and with their friends was amazing, and getting a personal record on those hills was memorable, what I appreciated the most was the community that existed in that town before and after the race. So oftentimes, if you're putting together a community event, everyone kind of has their own turf, right? I'm in charge of this, you're in charge of that, we stay in our lanes, and that's how everything gets done. But that wasn't the case here. So we pulled up to the race area in our car, and quickly found ourselves to be in this field where half the volunteers were Amish and half the volunteers were English. The Amish boys who were parking cars had walkie-talkies that they just thought was like the end-all, be-all. We passed the horse camping out area, and we found ourselves in the middle of this tent where there was just this delicious smell of roasted chicken. And I quickly learned two things. So one, not only was the fire department half Amish, half English, but two, that they actually have a running club that's also half Amish, half English. And their running club slogan is called Vela Springa, which in Pennsylvania Dutch means the joy of running in community. And when I look back on that time, the community was very special. See, although there was a clear distinction kind of outfit-wise between who is Amish and who is English, especially when running, all of the Amish people ran in their dresses and their slacks, some of them with or without shoes. I was very impressed. Really, if you took those clothes away, everyone was just there, running for the same team. Because in that space, there weren't cultural, religious, or political separation. We were just people. We were unconnected from the TV, from the news, from our phones. And we were running 13 miles in the beautiful countryside in Pennsylvania. Now, we don't have to put on a half marathon here at Mount Zion Lutheran Church with our Amish neighbors to do good work for the community and our neighbors, because that is a lot of work. And our relationship with God doesn't require us to single-handedly save and build a whole country or donate a large sum of money for disaster relief. Those who can are obviously doing good works, but God doesn't require that level of generosity. We don't have to spend our entire weekend at the food pantry or all Sunday in church. Jesus reminds us that acts as simple as giving a glass of water to someone who is thirsty are enough. So whether it's last month's packing of the Lutheran World Relief Kits, donating toys for girls and boys who need them over Operation Christmas Child, or donating food to the pantry right outside, we are doing those good works on behalf of Christ. And we should do good works not because they're required or because we think it'll score points with God or for the Lutherans in our area. You know, we donated more money than the Catholics did. But because we are thankful for what we are given. And Luther reminds us just of that. He says, God doesn't need your good works, but remember that your neighbor does. And Jesus knew that he and his disciples wouldn't be around forever. and that eventually this torch of good works must be passed from his Jesus squad to others, and eventually to us. Eventually, people have to do good works on behalf of Christ who are not part of his immediate disciple team because they're no longer with us. So our challenge for this week is this. We are to do good works, whether it's as complex as casting out a demon, or giving a glass of water to someone, or a cup of coffee in Jesus' name. Because really, in the kingdom of God, there is no us, and there is no them. There is no Penn State, although I kind of wish there was. There's no Ohio State, which I'm not entirely not thrilled about. There's no red, there's no blue, there's no Lutheran, there's no Catholics. And when we can eliminate this us versus them mentality, and we can serve wholeheartedly as a community of believers, that's when we know we truly are doing good works. And today's gospel lesson ends with this quote about salt. And I saw it on the billboard when I came out outside. It said, "Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other." The thing about salt is that salt enhances food. It doesn't take away from flavor. And it's very hard sometimes, at least in Pennsylvania Dutch cooking, to add too much of it. So we are to take the salt that is within us, those good works that is within us, and we are to sprinkle it on everyone that we pass by. In the name of Christ. Amen.